listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, yo, we light a candle, run raps around the English Channel. Neptunes, I got a cocker spaniel. We on the run now. Yo, it ain't even fun now. And where I go, yo, niggas can't even come now. Yo, you hate the law, nigga, break it. I don't care. When you get caught, remember that. I don't care. NRE, blow you out the atmosphere. Yo, now we on the run. Yo, if that ain't clear, weak niggas want to stick. But if that ain't fair, now we down in Vegas. Money skies is too courageous. Yo, I'm on the run, but still rip stages. They call me Animal Thug when I'm in cages. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tells podcast. Your host, Rod, Ed.
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Sunday. That's right. Sunday, the day that the Lord made for football.
Yeah, today's a quote-unquote official kickoff, even though
Thursday was the official kickoff.
Thursday was the official kickoff, but today's the day everybody else plays.
Are you saying official or official?
Official.
Oh, okay, I don't know why I'm hearing an extra syllable in there. At any rate.
My bad.
No, it's cool. I mean, it could be official as well.
I may have, my bad.
That's
but
all
I
good.
Thought I was saying official.
Well, it's the official kickoff today, or official, depending on where y'all at. But also it's the 15th anniversary. Sounds weird to say anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
Which, of course is a terrorist attack that happened in DC and New York and, through a lot of people in America, you know, and it's, that combination today is going to probably be the cause of a lot of, strife on the timeline over whether people kneel or don't kneel for the NFL national anthem singing shit. Which is at this point, I think that entire controversy just become ridiculous.
Right.
Like I'm now no longer caring whether you kneel or don't kneel. It doesn't bother me.
It never mattered from the beginning to me.
Yeah. Like the Seahawks, I think, are planning to stand with their arms interlocked to show solidarity and unity for each other or some shit. I don't care, you know. I literally, it doesn't make any difference. Police don't give a fuck either, so
right.
I expected to be a lot of hot takes today, you know, a lot of, you know, and the, you know, the thing is, it's weird because I feel like we've watched 9/11 become a shadow of itself. Just being alive during it, I remember the intensity of emotion afterwards and the outpouring of like togetherness and all this shit that was always kind of, I think any black person paying attention knew that that was bullshit. But just the fact that we lived through that, you know, it must be like what it was like to live through Pearl Harbor or whatever. And then, you know, the war comes and then they're like, okay, black soldiers, y'all can't be Marines and you need to have a separate barracks and we're not gonna put you on the front line, we're not even gonna put you in the war, you know, until we get decimated in numbers and we need to put you in the war, we don't have a choice, then we'll do it. Like where you just knew clearly, like, this is still bullshit. So at any rate, yeah, happy 9/11 everybody. And you know, all the hot takes that go with that, you know, Dick Cheney was saying President Obama has made us the least secure president ever and shit like this, you know. Just it's like this, the whole point of this is now just trolling. It's not like it's no reality to it. Mm-mm. I actually don't mind when people recount where they were at, what they were doing, how they felt. That because at least that is grounded in some sort of reality,
right?
Like that's how people really like the hot takes of it, the how dare you kneel on 9/11.
Yeah, that's the problem I have,
that kind of shit. I just can't deal with it.
I don't mind the reflecting, because for a lot of those people it's just a reflecting of where they was, what was going on, how it immediately affected them versus people that just spouting shit.
Yeah. And I mean, emotionally, I know I was fucked with, you know, everybody was fucked with. I mean, unless you just some heartless motherfucker, like, right. Seeing, you know, the exposure of 24/7 news coverage, people jumping out of the fucking towers
in real time,
you know, the fact that it was almost like helplessness. It wasn't like a country attacked us where you could just like blow some shit up, you know, bomb something, go to war with somebody. It was, you know, in the aftermath we went to war with terrorism. In the aftermath we passed the Patriot Act, you know, like there's so much that happened from that, because people were so fucked with. And I don't think there's any there's no weakness in admitting that. And there's also, you know, it's shameful in hindsight, some of the things we let the country get away with under the banner of 9/11 and unity. But, you know, at any rate, it's, you know, I'll be glad kind of when this day's over a little bit, because, it does get a little bit too much with the 9/11 shit, to be honest. Like, people just go to this extreme, trying to, like, it feels like they're almost trying to outdo each other with more and more 9/11 bullshit. So I'll be glad when it's over.
I'm trying to out patriotic you, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, be more patriotic than you. And even a lot of people that was alive during that time, a lot of them have what I consider selective memory. They remember what they want to remember,
right?
And then not only that, you do have a lot of people who, in my personal opinion, because the internet now versus the internet back then is not the same. So because everything is cynical, all of a sudden this got to be cynical too. You just can't let people, you know, talk about where they were, how their families, how it affected them, then putting up pictures of New York and DC in those areas before and after. I mean, just letting them deal with it however they choose to deal with it. You know, it's people that gotta wake up and be like, nah, I ain't trying to hear that. And you're like, word. Like, it's them, like I say, those people ain't bothering nobody. I could see you, you know, communicating with the people that's just, you know, like you say, throwing a hot take. That's a whole nother group, a set of people.
Right.
But the people that are just reflecting and mourning in their own way, a lot of times are just getting attacked for putting anything on a timeline about 9/11.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, yeah, there's a lot of people. It's weird being alive and seeing it as an adult. It's like, right, we've watched people become so callous and cold to what happened, you know what I mean? Like, we watched it. And I mean, not just people that are like, man, fuck y'all, you know, if you weren't in New York, I don't care how you feel, or even the like, why y'all trying to act like this, that, or other, but more like the, even people that are trying to use it as a banner to admonish other people, like, oh, y'all not real patriots if you don't feel broken up over 9/11 today. Like, it's just weird to watch it happen in real time, to where it just became a tool for everybody to line up on different sides and fight with each other. It's just, I don't know, it's just so odd to watch humanity work, I guess, essentially in just regular speed, you know what I mean? But to see it, like, I'm sure it's been like this at every major tragedy that we've experienced, you know what I mean?
You just didn't have the privilege of the internet to
alive.
Yeah, people, real thoughts out there, right? Like, the same thing that's on the timeline, people thought those things, but, you know, in various different forms, but there was nowhere to actually put a lot of it where you could actually see it in real time.
Yeah, and I don't find any weakness in saying that, in saying that it deeply affected a lot of people. It deeply affected the sense of invincibility that, you know, I think a lot of Americans had, and also the sense of invincibility that we had when, you know, when I was young, because that happened when I was 20 something, like 22, 21.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the thing about it, for those of you that weren't alive or don't remember, you can actually, you know, like a smaller child when this happened, Google 9/11 commercials, because I don't know if we would ever see those type of commercials again, because, like, everything was, we are one, we are American, we are one. I mean, for months, like, people of all races, all ethnicities, like, you've seen it everywhere.
Right. All right. So, yeah, this is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's show is double sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Cop our second album, The Best of Rod and Karen. You can find it on iTunes, and you can also find it on Amazon. Leave us a 5-star review if you cop that joint, because we appreciate everybody that gets it. Let us know what you think, man. We got to be funny and silly and do some characters and play some parts, man. So catch up on all the old adventures of Rod and Karen on The Best of Rod and Karen, as we you know, get ready to release this third joint that's coming out soon too. Mm-hmm. We also are brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is the monthly mystery crate that is filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter offer code TBGWT. You can get $3 off of any new subscription. Make sure you do it by the 19th so that you get this month's crate, which is all about the theme speed. Okay, it has a high octane assortment of goodies from Batman, CW's The Flash and Arrow, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, and Gone in 60 Seconds. And if you have a style need, they also got Speed Loot Wear Collection, which has Sonic Socks. Oh, I got to have them socks. Or when you gotta go fast as a Transformers wearable for your world saving needs, a winning Mario Kart tee, and more. This Loot Wear Collection is gonna zoom away real quick. All right, let's get into different things. Well, speaking of 9/11s, we should probably get into some 9/11 news, because people keep doing stuff. A Texas mattress company had to close because they put out a commercial which was a Twin Towers sale, and it ended up sparking death threats as people were not I hope you say now not amused by the tasteless video promoting a 9/11 anniversary sale. Let me see if I can find the actual video of it, but because I'm sure they took that shit down. All right, let me see if I can play this and if I can put it on screen for y'all. But yeah, I mean, it was just a matter of time. I guess 15 years was the limit, you know. I mean, you figured at some point with the way the world is, somebody was just gonna be like, I'm pulling the trigger on this.
Nobody else did this yet. I'm gonna see what happened.
Yeah, it's too good of an opportunity to troll and be a jerk.
Swing mattress, swing price. King mattress, swing price.
Oh, it's moving kind of slow. Let me see if I can enlarge it.
Sell all day long.
Oh my God! They fell into a
twin. Dubai. That is just a snippet.
They fell into a tower of mattresses.
Who thought that
behind
was
them
day?
and made them fall? Oh shit!
Swing price. Store wide sell all day long.
Oh my God!
Also, not that this should make a difference, but everybody in this bitch is brown. So, like, both the men, now I don't know if they're Muslim or anything, but you know America. Yeah, they seem brown, and they not black, they brown, so it's definitely some, like, one dude looks Asian, and I'm sure they're just like, yep, them goddamn Muslim terrorists tearing down the towers, making a joke.
It don't matter, you Muslim.
We'll never forget.
New at 5, that is just a snippet of an ad right in San Antonio that's causing outrage, with some critics calling its reference to September 11th attacks tasteless and offensive. Now, the ad you saw there showed two stacks of mattresses piled up, then collapsing to the ground, while the owner of the store says, "We'll never forget." News 4 San Antonio's Amanda Weber talked with the owner of the store, who's now apologizing. Amanda?
Well, Randy, Miracle Mattress is located just 410, and they've already taken that ad off of their Facebook page, but you can see where here today they've apologized to the public, and the comments continue to grow.
We are not hate, we are love. We are somebody that stands out. We're miracle matchers. We make miracles happen, and for our lives to be in danger, that's not what we ever wanted.
Charisse Bonanno says she didn't realize this 20-second ad would cause the controversy it has.
It was stupid. It was a stupid idea that we sent out. And we apologize for our stupidity, and we really hope you forgive us for what we've done.
Bonanno says they filmed the ad earlier this week, wanting to get the word out that they would be having a Twin Tower sale for the anniversary of the 9/11. Terrorist attacks this weekend. But to many on social media, the concept of the sale was immediately taken as offensive.
You don't see people making fun of things that happened at Pearl Harbor when, you know, the Japanese attacked us. You don't see people making fun of any other war. So why is a terrorist attack on such monumental buildings okay?
Having a twin tower sale is the most tasteless thing I've ever heard.
In the video, you see the two piles of mattresses. Bonanno says they plan to have two towers of mattresses, depicting the one standing towers in New York City.
It's offensive to everybody. It should be offensive to Americans. And as an American making the video, and especially living in San Antonio, I don't know how you could perceive that as not being offensive, as funny or a creative marketing. That's not what it is.
We'll never forget.
Now Miracle Mattress says they will donate 30% of their sales this weekend to the 9/11 Foundation.
And Miracle Mattress closed today out of fear, they say, after they received several death threats.
Right.
They say they will still have a sale this weekend, but it will not be called the Twin Tower Sale. Reporting live, Amanda Weber, News 4, San Antonio.
Down in Texas, they got guns. Somebody come in there and shoot your place up.
They should have been like, we would donate 9.11% of our sales this weekend to the cause. But, yeah, that's pretty bad, man. Pretty bad.
That's bad what they did.
And then September 9th, they put out a press release that said they'll be closed indefinitely.
Of course, because no matter where they go, people are going to threaten them. Like basically, the way it is, because of racism, people's stupidity, they're never going to forgive you. A lot of people probably would never shop there again.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't surprise me if people started returning their merchandise and shit. Like, this is the shit that people do. And no matter what happened, I agree. I don't think it's worth threatening them their lives. I guarantee you, they got all types of threats. People like, I come and I blow that bitch up. You down in Texas. Open carry state, like, people crazy.
Also, in the comments on that Facebook, they said people are like going in and arguing, so like
with
some people
other.
Yeah, some people creating fake accounts being on their side, and they're like, that's not us.
Mm-mm.
Oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with people, man?
Right, just to start controversy.
You didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, you really just sat there and went, we had no idea that it would be viewed this way. I mean, we, you know, as far as we concerned, we thought that everybody would be okay with it. I just can't even imagine that how any of this is bad. Anyway, all right, let's talk about some other news that's happening. Here's one. Dad from TLC's conservative Christian Willis Family series has been arrested. What do you think he got arrested for, Karen? Mm-hmm. Child rape.
Okay.
Why do they even give the... Can we just look into everybody on TLC's past? Because I feel like...
Somebody not doing background
Whether
checks.
It's like the Duggars, Honey Boo Boo Mama. Like, it's a lot of child rape secrets in these families on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they white, so everybody glosses over them. But if they was brown, TLC would not be no longer. The channel would be gone.
This is what I really miss about TGI Friday. Remember TGIF?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because those families, they were all actors and stuff. And you just never had to worry about, was Uncle Jesse diddling, you know, DJ. You know, you just didn't have to worry about
it. And if he was... He would get replaced, like the little girl went upstairs and never returned again on Family Matters. You would just disappear and we would get another actor and act like the shit never existed.
Unless you had access to Booty Talk, because she was definitely on some West Coast productions after that.
Ah!
But nah. You,
up in that room she never came out of.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, this is the thing. You can't watch these shows after this shit happens. Like, this is kind of like R. Kelly. I don't listen to R. Kelly because it's hard to listen to him think about sex without thinking this is about a 15-year-old. It hits too close to home. I don't even eat Subway anymore. Like, I can't remember the last time I went to Subway. It hits,
ooh, it's been years.
Yeah, when the sandwich artist hits too close to home, okay, the sandwich art. Like, I can't eat a sandwich when they put that mayo on the sandwich. You know, I'm just thinking that's what Jerry did to them kids. You know, so no,
I eat is the meatball subs, but then that's not good because then you got balls.
Right, exactly. I don't want none of his beef. I don't want none of his meat. You know, I don't want him getting between none of my buns. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of reasons I can't support that. And this reminds me of that. Like, how can you even watch TLC with any of these family values TV shows, knowing that they're probably the next one to be like, yeah, I was fucking my kids too. You know, anyway, praise Jesus.
Somebody defend you.
He was arrested and charged by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the TBI, for raping an underage girl 12 years ago. TBI agents carried out days-long investigation of the charges against Willis, who was the father of 12 children, all of whose names begin with the letter J, for just not right. The Duggar-like musical family were the stars of their own reality show about traveling the country, spreading the Christian gospel and performing country music. However, due to poor ratings, they canceled the show in April.
You don't say.
Good luck. I mean, they lucky. Because, you know, it would have been the controversy of the people rallying behind them. Because, see, we always forget about that part. It's a lot of people that support the Duggars. And they support Doug Dynasty, and they support Paula Deen, and they support these despicable criminals and racists and bigots and shit and dog the bounty hunter and people. It's unfair, we pile on these people and shit like that.
I say is racism involved in a lot of this, you know? People don't want to admit that, but like I said, for some reason it's empathy and sympathy, and oh, you people, everybody make mistakes, and you know, God forgives and all this shit, but you brown.
He was apprehended in Kentucky, where he fled in an attempt to evade arrest. He will be extradited to Tennessee Cheatham County Jail, where he will be held without bond. He and his wife Brenda, like Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar, are quibbleful parents, adherents to a Christian Dominionist sect that encourages married couples to produce as many offspring as possible in order to raise an army of believers. The word quiverful comes from the Old Testament Psalm of Christian Bible, Psalm 127, which says, children are a blessing from the Lord. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. The Duggar family has had problems of its own, of course, we know, with the cheating on Ashley Madison, the molesting underage girls by Josh Duggar, and including his sisters. Another day, another child sex scandal on TLC.
Yeah, the TLC went from literally the Learning Channel. For those of you who haven't been around, TLC used to be like Neil God Science guy and like literally NASA and shit. Like, it was none of this shit now, but I guess they realized nobody gave a fuck about those things, so then they spun off into reality TV.
What's funny is it still stand, TLC is still the
Learning Channel.
No, it doesn't stand for that anymore. It's still the acronym, but now it stands for Touching Little Children.
Oh
yeah, yeah, that's what it stands for, Karen. I just came up with that. I'm so smart. North Dakota has legal. I don't approve of them touching little children either. But that's what the channel stands for until they fucking get these people off of there.
Right. Y'all need to make it born again.
North Dakota has legalized armed weaponized drones for police use.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, it's already bad enough they shoot us with the cameras on us. I really don't need them shooting up innocent black people just like it's Iraq.
Right. You know? Like we playing a fucking video game. No, it's real people you're shooting. No.
Negro down. Shoot them. Negro down.
Yeah, they probably start betting, taking points and shit. No.
Yep. They said they will be limited to less than lethal weapons, tear gas, tasers, rubber bullets, and pepper spray.
No.
Could all be used in theory by the remote controlled flying machines. The classic case of unintended consequences, the original sponsor, Republican State Representative Rick Becker, said he was unhappy with the way legislation actually turned out. His original intention was to prevent law enforcement officials from using the unmanned aerial vehicles from conducting surveillance on private property without a warrant. In my opinion, there should be a nice red line. Drones should not be weaponized, he said. The original draft of House Bill 1328 said a state agency may not authorize the use of, including granting or permitting to use, an unmanned aircraft armed with any lethal or non-lethal weapons, including firearms, pepper spray, beanbag guns, mace, and sound-based weapons. However, the state police union amended the bill, limiting the ban to only lethal weapons, meaning that sound cannons or rubber bullets can be used on police drones. Mr. Becker said he didn't fight the amendments, telling the Arstigna, Arstotheca, all right, whatever, website that he wanted the bill to pass to at least require warrants. However, he said that he will aim to challenge the law in 2 years' time during North Dakota's House of Representative session when they return.
Right, because you don't give a fuck about niggas and brown people, because this is how it's going to affect when people get together and start protesting. They're going to fly this shit out there and make sounds and disperse the groups and shit like that. Like, this is the whole goddamn purpose of this. What people fail to realize is, like, okay, now versus sending our officers out there and having our officers get attacked, now we can send shit out there prior to it. You know what I'm saying?
Happy. Not even get attacked, though. It's not about officers getting attacked.
No, it's not.
That's accepting a false reality.
This is their perspective. Even though it's not reality, officers most likely don't get attacked. The problem is that this is their perspective to push this shit, when in reality, it's not for them, it's for the protesters.
Yeah, so, at any rate. Let's see what else happens.
Yeah, that just makes me mad. Wow, so you can fly over and monitor people. People watch out, walk outside a house and get shot and shit, and nobody knows why, and nobody knows what happened. People could say the shit fly away, but you know, new technology. All of a sudden, we got all these fucking malfunctions, just like these cameras. All of a sudden, you see before and you see after, but the incident itself, it was fucked up because, oh, the technology is, no, fuck you.
Yeah, who decides who pulls the trigger on those not less lethal weapons?
Right.
Also, less than lethal weapons have killed people. You know what I mean? Like, people can still die from being tased to death. You can still die from, if you have breathing issues and someone puts fucking pepper spray or smoke on you, like, it can still happen.
Yeah, and I didn't think about it, but saying in the chat room, I didn't think about a hack proof. Like, the shit ain't gonna be hack proof, so somebody hack into your shit, all of a sudden you have a whole nother set of problems.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already sending robots in to blow up on motherfuckers and shit, so. Felony gun charge against Designer, the rapper, has been dropped after police failed to find a gun. Following his arrest yesterday, Kanye West's protege, Designer, was facing felony drug and gun charges stemming from an alleged road rage incident. However, according to TMZ, the felony gun charge has been dropped after police failed to locate a weapon. A driver phoned 911 Thursday night, claiming the rapper pointed the gun at him during an argument, but a search of the Escalade carrying Designer turned up nothing, gun-wise, that is. The SUV still contained oxycodone, methadone, and steroids. Steroids? The fuck? What are the steroids for? While the charge of felony possession of a controlled substance with the intent to sell has also been dropped, Designer will still be arraigned today for felony possession of a controlled substance and menacing. Okay, fine, but they did find the hundreds of hammers in the, okay, this dude's just being being snarky at the end of this article. But yeah, apparently he got arrested, man. You know, hope you don't be the next Bobby Shmurda, you know. Felony charges, and he only got one hit. I mean, I'm worried about him. Speaking of other rap news, Drake had his tour bus robbed of $3 million of jewelry while on tour.
God damn.
Yeah. Somebody snuck into his bus and robbed it. And he went out and said he didn't get robbed because hip hop machismo has so much to do with that these days. You know, you have to be like, ain't nobody robbed me. It's like, nigga, somebody robbed you. Ain't nothing. It don't make you a bitch that you got robbed.
Right, you wouldn't even dare to defend it. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, like, what? But it's like everybody's so worried about getting their fucking chain snatched. So it seemed like everybody's kind of on the same shit, you know? And more hip hop news. Chance the Rapper is buying back tickets from scalpers.
Good.
Yeah, and now this is important because, and I think I don't know if we covered it on the show or if I just saw
Rihanna's concert, right?
Rihanna, she sold out a concert, but when you see the actual concert, it's about 30% full because scalpers, what they do is they buy the tickets, they mark up the prices to exorbitant amounts, and then even if you don't sell all the tickets as a scalper, if you get, you know, if you're selling the tickets for fucking 10 times face value, even if you just get a few people to do it, you've got your money back. And that's basically what they do. So Chance has been making an effort because, you know, he's like, hey, my concert sold out. He's very excited. Everybody's come out. I want to have a good crowd.
Right, you get in there and you're like, why is it a fraction of the tickets that I was told was sold? The people are here.
Yeah, and this, man, honestly, dog, it's been so cool to see Chance blow up from 10 Day. I remember telling Brandon about that 10 Day mixtape. And Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres, and him being kind of like, well, you know, we'll see, he's not polished yet. And I was like, I understand, he's raw, but I could just feel something in him, like, yo, this dude could be special one day.
Yes, as you grow and develop as an artist.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, and he's also grown and developed as a person, because I mean, he's had, like, you know, homophobic lyrics and shit like that in the past, but like, his album, it just feels so much more mature. And I do love that he's just out there being, like, joyful and happy and not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, it's just, like, he's almost, it's almost like hip-hop gospel music kind of without being preachy, you know?
Right.
So, at any rate, man, it's cool that he cares enough about his audience that he's like, it's not real to, it's not success for me to say my concert was sold out, but when I get to the concert, it's empty seats. Like, that's not actual success.
You're
for
not
me.
Getting any energy off the crowd or anything. I mean, you of course people are there, but it's different between, you know, 20 to 30% versus the whole arena filled up.
And that's not success for your fans,
right? Because
you know your fans enjoy being part of something. They're enjoying this idea of we're sharing an experience, and there's nothing worse than being robbed of that experience when you show up and, you know, the tickets are all either one, you try to buy tickets and they sold out,
right?
Or they cost so much, you're just like, I don't want to do this,
I can't afford to go.
So he was like, he told his fans, like, hey, don't give up if you can't find tickets. We about to basically take them back from the scalpers. He says, it's become apparent to me that many people have targeted my cheap seats to hashtag MCD and use me and my fans as a way to make money from music. I'm not talking resellers. I will put them in your hands myself, either $45 or $75. We found some tickets that scalpers bought up for MCD and took them back. Available now. Limit 2 per person. ChanceRaps.com. He said, I took the tickets back from scalpers. That shit got to be historic. yeah, because a lot of people just wouldn't. Like, I sold my shit out. I'm good.
And my thing is this. I mean, because they get their money regardless. But I guess my thing is this, how is that legal? Like, how are you able to buy thousands of tickets in one swoop?
Right.
And you got people that can't even get into the system because you have programs that hold up hundreds and thousands of tickets at one period of time. Like, I don't even understand it. Like, honestly, that shit should be illegal. If you can't get on a computer and do it like everybody else, or call Ticketmaster, or show up, no.
Right, man. So, anyway, thank you, Chance. That's dope. Cause fans should have a chance to see their rapper, favorite rapper, man. Right. They targeting the cheap seats on purpose.
Right.
Which also fucks up the value for the other seats as well. Cause now I'm paying so much more just to be there. And that's such a ridiculous thing. And I hope it starts a trend with other artists fighting back, because this shit is fucked up. You freeze out real fans, man. You shouldn't need a fucking $1,000 to go see your favorite actor, I mean, your favorite rapper or singer, and you up in the motherfucking nosebleeds. It doesn't even make sense. Anyway, appreciate you, dog. Also, in rap news, Nelly has had a $2.5 million federal lien put on him.
Oh.
But he says he is willing and able to pay off the federal lien. So he's working with the tax people now to pay it off. So good luck, man. You know, I know he saw that bill. He was like, "Ooh, it's getting high in her."
Mm-hmm. Keep all your clothes on. We might need to sell them.
So selling all my clothes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that he was able to do that. You know, hopefully he can be in a suite and a suit this year, because he's gonna be able to afford both. Because we definitely don't want him to have to deal with all that stuff. Okay, guys. Let's see what else happened. I think I had some more hip hop news. What else happened in hip hop? Feel like I had another hip hop story. Maybe I didn't. All right. Well, let's get back to other news. Millennials are the most educated and worst paid generation.
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go to school and all this shit. Y'all learn all that stuff and it don't matter.
Thousands and thousands of dollars in debt to get out. You know, you got a $500,000 loan, but you ain't got no $500,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars alone. You ain't got no house. You ain't got no car.
I mean, you got student loans.
Right. I'm talking about like combined. And then don't try to be all fancy smants and get educated and be like, well, I'm going to do this shit all the way through. You be like, I'm going to do undergraduate, you know. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and get this doctor's and this master's. Yeah, you're going to pay those prices.
Because school, I mean, with school costing so much at this point, being more educated also means being more in debt. And you know, it doesn't seem like, I don't know how they justify what the value is at this point.
Right.
You know, it's one of the reasons that, Bernie Sanders, for all his issues around race and stuff, he appealed to many millennials because of the promise of quote unquote free education. Whether the realities of that were gonna be easy to implement or not. Just that alone is a huge motivating factor, because kids now, their loans are so much, their school costs so much. No one can possibly be paying for this shit out of pocket.
Oh, no.
Like, you'd have to, you know, even with your parents saving when you were a kid, if they were saving to pay for your college education,
they would still save.
There's no way that shit ballooned up to the $500,000 it might take for certain schools and shit. It's just no way. You know, they might have a semester or two for you, if that.
If that, depending on where you go and shit like that. And also, it's one of the things, too, where you have a generation that was like, fuck it, why am I wasting time going to school? Like, a lot of people don't want to admit that, you know, because it's quote-unquote somewhat of a disadvantage. But they was like, look, that debt is not worth the debt just ain't worth it. The debt just ain't worth the education for a lot of people. Because that's the thing. It was just a promise of a better paying job. Well, now most people work in places where people around them don't have degrees. Like, we're not even gonna admit that. You know, people, you got this doctorate, this PhD, and you're working with somebody that barely, you know, that might have a high school diploma or have an undergraduate degree. When you're like, okay, cool, but I got my doctorate and I can't be a manager. I can't be a supervisor. Like, shit like that matters. And they know this shit. So you're being undervalued and being underpaid for your job. And then the thing is, let's say you have a $500,000 worth of student loans, and you got a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 job. You'll never get that shit paid off with that income. Let's just keep that real. And that's if you make income that high. Like, most people do not have jobs where they're making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. The average person is not making a job that high, but your loans and the amount of debt you should be making that much. And that's the thing, I think. And also, companies know this. Companies know that they could get highly educated people very cheaply.
This is how I paid off my loans.
What's up, girl? I'm sucking dick right now. Let me call you right back.
That's how I paid off my student loans.
Though
it's the only way.
Mm-mm.
That's what you gotta do sometimes, Karen.
No, I'm not.
That's how millennials gonna have to pay off their loans. It's gonna have to be out here on these streets working.
What's up, girl? I'm sucking dick right now. Let me call you right back.
That's it. That's how I'm gonna pay. That would be my plan. Hey, Dad, how you gonna pay for money to go to college? Hey, got to be sucking dick right now. That's on the way.
See, you might actually make more money than working your 9-to-5 on the low, though.
Mm-hmm. It's not worth it, man.
No, I mean, it's not. So I could see a generation of people going, fuck it. Like literally within the next, in my opinion, 5 to 10 years, it's going to be a huge decline of people actually going to school. Like, people going to be like, I can't afford it. My family can't afford it. I'm just not going. It's going to be more of those certificates. More certifications are going to go up and shit like that. Like, people are like, I'm gonna do this in 2 years. I can't sacrifice 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of school to get out and not be guaranteed a fucking job.
You know, they're leaving college with an average of $35,000 of debt, which is roughly twice the debt of previous generations. And the recent spike in federal debt means millennials won't be able to collect on Social Security and Medicare as they age.
Right, and they're not talking about the other set of problems, which means you have a different set of problems. You get out and you have loans for an adult, like grown adults have been getting, but you accrued this debt, you gotten this debt as an undergraduate, graduate through school. So you get out with all this debt. They're staying at home until their 30s now, because who the fuck can afford to be out on their own? So that means you're actually living with your parents for a extended period of time. A lot less of them are having children. A lot less of them are getting married. A lot less of them are buying homes. So overall, it impacts the economy by a lot, and nobody seems to want to fix this problem. But yet you have these universities squeezing, nickel and diming people to death, constantly going up between 1 to 2 to 3 to 5% every year, every semester, however they do this. And it's just an overall problem across the economy.
A St. John's University student was killed during, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but jail vert festivities in Brooklyn, New York. She had reportedly told a man to stop grinding against her, police say, according to the New York Post. Mm-hmm. According to the report, the 22-year-old Tiara Poyau was walking the jail route with three friends when she was accosted by a man. She told the man, "Get off of me." Her friends, who were walking ahead of her, heard a shot and saw her fall in the street. So yeah, apparently she was shot in the eye at close range.
Shit.
Yeah, this is masculinity so fragile. You okay, sis? All right, that shit.
Just tell motherfuckers, don't say nothing to us. Let's leave us alone, dog.
Right, and that's the thing, man. Like,
when it comes I'm the good one, motherfucker. I don't know. This would happen not to be. How would she know?
Right. Basically, so when people say why can't just say, hey, how you doing, or something? Like, sometimes, hey, how you doing ends like this for people, and that should be enough to scare the fuck out of you, you know. Like, every police interaction don't end with me on the ground in cuffs, but just the idea of knowing it can happen makes me feel some kind of way about when I see an officer walking towards me. I don't want to speak. I just want to walk, bow my head down, and keep it moving.
Right, because you don't want the interaction. And the thing is, you know, for a lot of people, not a lot of those men that just feel like, well, I got to say something. No, you don't. And at the end of the day, you're in control of the situation. She's not. Once your presence is there, you are in control. She is not, most likely.
But that's what people are really addicted to. Honestly, it's the control and the power that they have in that situation. It's not some measure of, like, this the only way I can get a woman, because we know for a fact that doesn't lead to most people. Like, there's not too many love stories that start with the, he came up to me and said, "Hey, yo, bitch," in the middle of this fucking street.
Right.
You know, so it's really not that. It's just the power. Dudes are addicted to the power and control in that situation. Even well-meaning, quote unquote, good dudes still get off on the power of being able to look at somebody and say, "Speak to me, you know, I'm speaking to you, I'm being nice to you, now I'm gonna see if I can get your number or whatever the fuck," you know.
Right, and you're quote-unquote a stitcher of niceness, I'm obligated to be back, but if I was to come up to you and say something to you and you didn't want to hear it, you quote-unquote as a man have the right to tell me to leave you alone, though, right? Okay, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, his name's Reginald Moise. He's 20 years old. He was taken into custody after being found drunk driving with a flag wrapped around his bloody hand. He allegedly told his friends about the shooting, saying, "I think I shot somebody on the parade route. I didn't know the gun was loaded." Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here.
Go to jail, dog.
So what would you even be holding the gun up for in the first place then? I didn't think it was loaded. I just thought I'd put it at your head and pull the trigger because you didn't let me dance with you.
Intimidation.
What the fuck? Because you told me to get off of you. I can kill you now. And the thing is, man, honestly, because what happens with a lot of times is people try to put this, like, if women weren't so rude type thing. She said the same thing 99.9% of us would say, was some motherfucker just start basically violating your body space and grinding up on you and shit. You would be like, "Man, get the fuck off of me." You know, it doesn't even matter what kind of parade it was or any of this shit. Like, just leave me the fuck alone. And don't blame the victim. Don't try to put this on any, why was you at the parade, what you have on, why you, whatever. It's literally just on him and on people like him and on people making excuses for him. That's who it's on.
Yep, he need to be held accountable and go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he even called a friend and wanted to hide the gun. Mm-mm. Okay, yeah, he has 5 sealed prior arrests. He fled to his girlfriend's apartment. So he has a girlfriend. He makes a phone call directly after shooting and tells a friend of his, would you mind if I put my gun in your apartment? He then fired two rounds into the mirror at the girlfriend's house, injuring his hand. One of the bullets went into the home of a neighbor. He then fled the scene, crashing into several parked cars and losing a wheel before he was finally stopped by police. The cops responded to the shooting, called the girlfriend's apartment, found a weapon that was used to kill Poyao. On the scene, we find an aluminum jacket, 9mm, is not particularly common, but we've seen them before. This aluminum jacket, 9mm, is also at the crime scene on Empire Boulevard. We start to get suspicious. We then send it down to the lab and they make the comparison. It's the same gun. So he's facing charges of second degree murder.
Instead of first.
I don't know how. I guess you can't prove it was premeditated. Criminal possession of a weapon and reckless endangerment. However, a family member told the Post that Moise was merely in the wrong place at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And that the real killer is still on the loose. They had the wrong person. Mm-mm. The wrong person with the same fucking weapon that went to a house, his girlfriend's house, and shot up the place. You know what? That's family. And then you just say whatever the fuck stupid shit you think makes sense, you know? And once again, you know, because I'm not going to avoid talking about this, the perpetrator looked like us.
Right.
A black dude, you know? You know, you look at the picture and it's like, yo, this is a black kid, you know? It's sad shit to see, you know, killing a black woman, you know? We are abusive to our community, man, in general. And a lot of it, while people might not participate in it on the level of being violent towards women, there's a lot of men that make a lot of excuses for shit like this.
Yep.
Or they only speak up when it's just these extreme examples. But
yes, sir.
It's the little everyday shit that leads to the entitlement of people feeling like this ain't that, like of this dude feeling like what he did was validated, you know? While you might not be sitting around saying, I agree, kill that woman, with the whole idea of, why can't I just talk to you? You know, if you don't like it, just keep walking in, bitch, you know? Like, even with us letting that shit slide.
Come on.
Will you let your boy cat call somebody in front of your face, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's people that scared to say something about that, you know? Like, and it's so funny because most of the time when people are doing that, they're doing it for you anyway.
Right.
So all you're really doing is telling them, don't do this shit around me, because it ain't helping my opinion of you at all that you can't ride or walk by a woman without yelling at her and shit. You know, it's just, you know, I just think it's important to point it out because it does matter. And it doesn't mean I don't love myself and I don't love black men. And I don't love straight black men. I love us, but we have to show love and spread love towards other people. And that means how we treat each other, man, and how we treat other people. Now, also mean tugging somebody's coat to be like, yo, what you doing is fucked up, you know?
Yeah, and if we can't be cool, dog, we can't be cool. There ain't no friendship worth that.
Exactly. Like, if you can't deal with that, then how could we ever have been cool anyway, if you can't even deal with that a little bit? All right, let's see what else is happening. Oh, they arrested that Malachi Love Robinson dude again on some new charges. That's the kid, that's the doctor, the fake doctor.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
Is he really white and nobody sees it?
Well, he wouldn't be getting arrested.
I mean, he getting arrested, but I mean,
oh, you mean because he keep doing it?
Right. Like, do they just see that name but like, oh, he's white, just sign everything off?
Yeah.
Like, is this somebody just ignoring the shit? Because I cannot believe he got arrested again for the same shit, dog.
Different shit.
Oh, different shit.
Yeah, apparently, you know, he already had pretended to be a doctor. Well, now he tried to fraudulently buy a luxury car. This was on Friday, so this is after the last time. He attempted to purchase a Jaguar at a car dealership. At this point, don't they just have his picture next to the door, like when somebody shoplifts at your local local 7-Eleven?
Don't they pass it around to everybody, be like, you see anybody look like this, just say no.
Do not sell a car to this man. It should be on the front of every car dealership ever.
Window.
Yeah, like, no, nigga, we know it. Just call the cops, it's him.
Just send the alert to all your salesmen.
Yeah, apparently he was charged with identity theft and other fraud offenses as he attempted to purchase a Jaguar at a car dealership. They said employees at Cargar Motorsports, Motor Car Dealership, became suspicious when Love Robinson applied for a car loan with an elderly woman as the co-signer of the loan. The employees called the sheriff's office after looking up his name in an internet search. They probably was like, hey, you look familiar. Here, put on this white lab coat.
Ah!
Oh, yeah, it's him. It's
put his glasses on.
Yeah, call the cops. Call the cops. Deputies came to the car dealership and spoke with Love Robinson, who said he came to Virginia to buy a car for himself and another for his godmother. So that means he drove all the way from Florida to VA. Because, you know, that's original shit happened in Florida. The woman, who was not identified, later told deputies that she had not given Love Robinson permission to be listed as a co-signer on the loan. She also told police she was unaware of recent purchases made on her credit card for two iPads. Two? Damn, you greedy. You couldn't just roll with one iPad?
This lady. Huh? I bet this is grandma or some shit. Stealing from her.
Nah, it ain't his grandma. It's probably some patient. Because think about all the information you have to give people. Or just somebody grifted. Like,
okay, yeah. Well, yeah, just some random old lady that he got all the information and knew she had money.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the information you have to fill out when you go to the doctor's office.
Name, date of birth.
Now imagine someone just had access to that. I'm like, I got your social security number. I got your name. I got your date of birth. I know what fucking medicines you're allergic to. I know everything. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I got you. If I want to just go fill out a credit card or take your information and you know, what credit card you pay with. Now I got all the information. But yeah, they're still investigating. He's being held in jail right now. He was arrested in February, for practicing medicine without a license. So we know all that. In one instance, they say he went to a woman's house 5 times after she contacted him online to treat her stomach pains. He told her she suffered from arthritis and sold her vitamins, charging her $3,494 that she paid by check. Of course, he denied the charges, says he never said he was a medical doctor. So, what is he going to say now? I never was buying a car? Fuck out of here, man.
Ah!
Take this nigga to jail. I'm sorry. Let's see what else is happening. Apparently, Congress just unanimously passed the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights. Unanimous. That is not a word I'm used to hearing.
Mm-mm. What are the stipulations to it? Did they add on a hog bill? What else is on there?
A hog bill? Pork, you mean?
Yeah. My bad.
The hog bill.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry. Shit is a pig.
On Tuesday, legislators unanimously passed a historic bill that aims to protect survivors of sexual assault from being re-traumatized as they work their way through the legal system. The Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights, which primarily deals with how rape kits are treated and ensures victims are informed of their legal options, now awaits President Obama's signature. Amanda Nguyen, founder of civil rights nonprofit Rise and a survivor of sexual assault, helped craft the bill after she realized that she'd have to file an extension request in Massachusetts to keep her own rape kit viable every 6 months. After the vote, she tweeted, it passed 399-0, unanimous recorded vote, the entire house, I can't believe this, all of them for justice. The bill, which only applies to federal cases,
which is a problem, but go ahead.
I mean, that's part of our government, you know, like, it has to start somewhere.
That's true.
And getting people to agree federally, maybe then you can get it on a state level.
That's true.
It eliminates the cost of invasive medical forensic exam that a victim undergoes after an assault and requires he or she be informed of the results. Additionally, a rape kit must be preserved for 20 years or the statute of limitations, whichever is shorter. When the evidence is scheduled to be destroyed, the victim must be informed 60 days beforehand and given the option to preserve the kit for longer. Yeah. This seems like common sense shit. It's sad that it wasn't done. Think about how many rapists walking our streets right now because either kits got destroyed or nobody was notified that they could extend it. You know, things of this nature. Rachel Lovell is a senior research associate for the Begun Center for Violence Prevention Research and Education at Case Western Reserve University. She says the Survivor Bill of Rights is a good step towards establishing better victim cooperation, which is the number one factor contributing to the successful prosecution of a perpetrator. traditionally, victims have been left out of the process. They're seen as one aspect of an investigation, not put at the center of it. The system made the decision of how to move things along, not the victim. Yeah, that's another thing. People talk about, well, you need to report your sexual assault and stuff, but they have no idea how the process works. And the assumption is that it's like TV, where everything's getting run by this person that's obviously traumatized and they're fighting this fight and all this shit. When a lot of it's just
happening. Mm-hmm. I said they don't even know what's happening.
A lot of it's bureaucracy. Right. A lot of it is paperwork and decisions being made that aren't in your hands, and lawyers, because you can't always afford some high price lawyer and shit, and things of this nature, where there's an investigation taking place without you. There's probably millions of women that have no idea their rape kit got destroyed. They have no idea that they stopped looking for this person. It didn't get tested. What the results are, the fact that you can have a rape kit done on you and they don't even come back and tell you, like, yes, we found this DNA or not, like, things of this nature, it seems like a huge problem, you know. And since most of the cases that we in the public eye talk about are ones of high profile athletes and men and women and stuff, I think it also makes us feel like it's all being done that way. But when we're talking about that, we're talking about a lot of access to money and power and shit. So even in those cases where we're seeing women accuse high profile athletes, we're still seeing cases where people seem to care to some extent. Police investigators know eyes are on them to get the shit right. The media is looking for information constantly.
We're seeing that's done.
Yeah, people are either paying prosecutors and defenders and because of the celebrity around the case, you're getting good defense and prosecutors and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about just your average person that has had something happen to them, don't have access to this money, the media doesn't care, there's no, you know what I mean, police aren't necessarily being diligent in some of this shit, so you might not find out all this information, you know, it just slips through the cracks, you know. Before there was before Jameis Winston was Jameis Winston, look at how that Florida police handled that case, and then how it was handled after they knew who he was. This guy who was starting on this team and about to be getting a Heisman, that shit was like, he didn't want to come talk to us, so we just dropped it. We're not going to investigate any further. You know what I mean? Like, well, we're not going to test the kid right now. It's not worth it. You know, but then he became somebody, and then all of a sudden the eyes were everywhere, you know, and that it's not necessarily a good thing. It's not, but the point is the importance, the priority definitely shifted. Once they knew, so think about what that means for any other woman that has been sexually assaulted in that state, who ain't, it's not by somebody famous, it's not by somebody, you know, it's not, you know, and the person just goes, I don't want to talk to them, I don't want to talk to the police, they just drop it. That seems so fucking ridiculous. You couldn't do that if you stole, like, I robbed a grocery store, I have him on camera, or, you know, whatever, I have witness descriptions, yeah, I just don't want to talk to the police. Well, what can we do? We wash our hands of it. See you in a year if he becomes famous. Hey,
bitch, if you don't get in there, talk to him.
At any rate, so yeah, man, preserving the kits definitely helps. However, one thing that the bill can't fix is a backlog of unprocessed rape kits. While it's unclear just how many there are, some reports suggest the number is well into the hundreds of thousands. And if you're not preserving the kits and not allowing victims choice and a voice in this process, then nothing else can happen from that, Lovell says. It's the very first important step. You know? It's so weird how we talk about rape as if it's not happening a lot, while we know for a fact there's hundreds of thousands of untested kits. So many, we don't know the number.
Oh, we will never know the number. There's probably, and then we've read stories about warehouses and storage places that the city or county or state forgot about. They're just locked up. There's somebody, oh, what the fuck is in here? Oh, all these test kits has been sitting around here that somebody, quote unquote, fucking forgot about because everybody moved and nobody thought about moving this along with them. And then you have to think, in some states, they actually charge you for your own rape kit. You know, so the people not talking about that, if I happen to be,
well, they did in this bill, they changed that federally,
right?
Yeah,
good, because it makes no sense. I get raped and then I have to pay to get a test done to prove that I was raped. That's fucking ridiculous.
You don't do that with any other crime. You know what I mean? We don't, hey, someone broke into my house. Okay, well, you got to pay the CSI investigators for their time. We're going to sweep up for fingerprints. That's another $75. Like, you would, it's just.
Y'all getting paid regardless.
Yeah, it's just such a ridiculous thing to do to someone. And it screams just patriarchy. It screams, we don't believe you. It screams, prove, like, the burden of proof is on you. Like, it just screams so much shit. And it also is another deterrent to reporting your own shit. Like, I got assaulted and then you going to take $250 from me. What the fuck kind of shit is that? Hey man, I got robbed. Yeah, well, to get the police to come out, I mean, you're looking at about $450. So, I mean, we'll come look at the car.
You're like, bitch, is this a car? What are we talking about here? You going to trash my muffler?
Right. Hey, how many people would just say, then don't come?
Right, because so, it's not worth it.
Right, but yet we don't believe that there's unreported rapes.
You tell them to go to the police, what's the point in going? And then you have all these unnecessary taxes.
Yeah, but we don't believe that there's people that don't report that rape. The only way I believe you is if you go to the police. What if I ain't got $250?
And you sure ain't paying for it, Mr. Imaginary fucking person on the internet.
Yeah, you won't, y'all won't even test my kit. You know, there's not even guaranteed that my shit's gonna get processed correctly. But I'm somehow the bad guy. Alright.
Right, no, I take that back. You're not imaginary. You're actually a real person. But, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody, because of the internet, they want to be imaginary, so they come in and they just say all kinds of froggy shit because they can, and they technically don't, are not held accountable.
Yep. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see what everybody's up to. New York columnist has been locked out of Facebook over N-word post. That's right, guys. Sean King, the very controversial, pro-black, writer, apparently got kicked off of, Facebook, because he shared supposedly a nasty email that he got at work. And he was surprised to get a message from Facebook saying he was kicked off the platform for 24 hours. Sean King is a senior social justice reporter for New York Daily News who was written extensively about the Black Lives Matter movement. He told CBS News he gets emails every day with racial slurs. Every day I get as many as 50 or some more sometimes overtly racist emails. I even get mail now at the New York Daily News office. Silence of the Lambs, weird stuff, said King. Sometimes I'll take a screenshot of one of those ugly things and post it. On Friday morning, King took a screenshot of an email he received that used both the F and the N words and posted it on Twitter and Facebook saying this is the type of ugliness he gets all day every day. A few hours later, when he went on Facebook, he says he had been logged out, and when he logged back in, he got a message saying he was being suspended for 24 hours. You recently posted something that violates Facebook policy, so you're temporarily blocked from using this feature. This block will be active for one day more. So here's the thing. This reminds me of me getting kicked off when they changed for the name to Hinge.
Facebook, when they changed that fucking policy, is dumb.
It's because their policy has become a way for racist people,
right,
to target black people who talk about race.
Right.
And Facebook is complicit because they let it happen. They're letting these tools be abused. I'm glad that someone wrote about it.
Yeah, they need to stop that policy. If truth be told, and I would consider, if Facebook was that concerned, you pay somebody to fucking do this research. Do not allow the general population to report to you.
Yeah, the fact that it seems like it's almost automated, like, okay, we got enough, complaints, because what happens is racist people can go to your page and they can click on it and be like, abuse report, and then they automatically ban you, and it's ridiculous.
I don't think they do any research. I think all this shit is automated.
You banned me for saying someone said some racist shit to me?
To me. I didn't call nobody out. Somebody said this to me.
Right. And I know people are conflicted or, like, they feel different ways about Sean King and shit. Ultimately, a lot of what he does is raise the attention for shit that does matter for black people, and I'll just leave it at that. Like, I understand there's a whole bunch of other issues with that dude, right. But as far as on this level, they're not attack, like, they would attack your ass too. Like, this isn't a Sean King specific thing. This is the fact that he has that platform and talks about race at this much.
Mm-hmm. So you have people to just walk around and troll, and it was like, oh, niggas and faggots on here, and people put nigga and faggot across Facebook all the time, right? But, you know, nobody pays that shit no attention, but for some reason he's not calling anybody this. He's just saying, I got a letter, look, see y'all, and people report it. Facebook need to get rid of that fucking policy. It's dumb and idiotic.
Right, they don't block the people that harass
ever.
You know, they don't even look at that and go, okay, who reported this? Let's look at how many people reported this and what the fuck's on their page. Okay, you can go.
Right. You'll have people put up a fucked up page. I'm just picking somebody at random, like for George Zimmerman, like a fucked up we support George Zimmerman or something, just really, really fucked up page of a tragedy or some shit that happened. And people report that, you know, this is offensive. It really is offensive. And they report it. They'll send you, because I've had this happen before, they'll send you thing back to my, there's nothing wrong with this. Get the fuck out of here. You only do it one way.
Well, also when it's an algorithm, you know, algorithms benefit whiteness and whoever's in charge. You know, it's it benefits the majority. You know, that they had a similar issue with they made an AI that could judge beauty contestants, and of course it said white women were the most beautiful. Like, even your algorithm was created in a racist environment, so of course that's what it generates towards, you know. At any rate, he says, I accept that Facebook and every other social media platform is trying hard to how to monitor and censor the ugliness that goes on. If the policy is we don't allow hate speech and people to get harassed, I say great, delete it, but don't ban people. King noted that it was odd that his Facebook post was blocked because the offensive language was in a screen grab rather than a typed message, which means if the censoring was automatic, there would have been some sort of visual recognition program that read the words off the image.
And it doesn't. You know it doesn't, because if it did, more people would be banned.
It seemed like a very robotic response. Was this a human being making this decision or a program? I don't know, but it's unnerving because I use that platform in my job. I consider myself a power user of the platform. At about 5 hours after the Facebook lockout, King told CBS News he was able to get back into his Facebook account. King said he received this message from David from Facebook. There was an unfortunate error. The post does not violate our community standards, and we apologize for the removal. The post from your personal account should now be restored, and you should be able to post on Facebook without any issue. Thank you for reaching out. Hit me back with further questions if you need.
It was a program that did it then, because they probably didn't know his shit got blocked.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, what if it's not Sean King? Do I slide up into the priority queue if no. I'm just me?
Mm-mm.
Right?
You had to wait that full 24 hours.
This was done in error and was restored upon review, says spokesman Andy Stone.
Yeah, articles got to be written for your shit to move up the queue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, he just has to reach. You know, who else could post this and then have the same thing done to them? King said he loves Facebook and knows people who work there, but would be curious to learn more about the incident. He said he will continue with posts that show racism in America. So, at any rate, 0 to 100.
Oh, regardless of how people feel about him, this is 100. They fucking with him.
Yeah, that's 100 for me too. Jason Whitlock, had some comments on the Colin Kaepernick, what would we call it, protest at this point.
100.
All right, so Karen's going with 100 off the bat, sight unseen. I'm still gonna play the video and show everybody what he was talking about.
No, he's not created a movement, he's created a fad. He's created something that's easy to do, and it's easy to look like you're for something significant. It's a fad, man. That's all I can say. Again, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. The whole police brutality thing, it's a hot take. And everybody loves a hot take because it's good for clicks, it's good for retweets, it's good for likes, it's good for your popularity and relevancy. He's created a movement around a fad, around Colin Kaepernick. It's no different. You remember the dab last year?
Right.
That's all this is. This is a new version of the dab.
A movement is a group working together. And if people start buying merchandise, I mean, there's a lot of different ways for a movement to begin. If they start buying merchandise, I mean, nobody's buying this jersey because of his quarterback rating. Okay.
I agree, but I'll just say this.
But why,
Martin Luther King jerseys weren't selling off the hook in the 60s. It wasn't about selling product.
Well, no, but this isn't the 60s. I would say this. Kaepernick is getting people who, A, don't necessarily buy jerseys to buy jerseys, and they're not buying it for his completion rate. They are buying it for his words.
They're buying it for the way he makes them feel. They're buying it
for... But isn't that a movement?
No, that's a feeling. That's No, there's no substance to it. I mean, I'm just going to get down to brass tacks and bare bones. 500 people have been killed in Chicago already. 500 people. No one's talking about that. They're talking about something that's damn near like getting struck by lightning. Getting killed by a cop is very hard. And if you don't run from them, it's damn near impossible. No one wants to deal with that reality. So, yes, he's created a nice little fad. The kids can hop on and everybody can wear the jersey. And look how unprejudiced and how concerned I am. It's a nice little feeling that will pass at some point.
Well, when the games start, perhaps.
Perhaps. But I'm just, this to me is about Colin Kaepernick. This is about his brand. And I'm not saying his intentions were to build his brand. But that's what has happened here, the building of Colin Kaepernick's brand as a backup quarterback. He has started that movement. Congratulations to him. A little golf clap.
So, Karen, you already gave it 100?
Mm-hmm. Because just about anything to come out of his mouth is 100. Because he, you know, I rarely hear him speak with anything, particularly when it comes to race and racism, in my opinion, with any form of intelligence. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's always coming from a perspective that makes white people feel comfortable. He never says anything, in my opinion, that will actually come from somebody who actually cares about our community. And I'm not saying he doesn't care about our community.
But I am.
Okay. But I'm saying that overall, when you hear him speak, you're like, something's wrong there. It's like, and I always want to say, who hurt you? Because that's at the end of the day, what black person hurt you, sir, that caused you to be like, fuck all niggas? Because to me, this is what you're saying, because the same excuse is like, what about the kids in Chicago? Well, that's what that is. He's doing that for those people too.
Yeah. Okay. People having issues with the audio. Let me refresh real quick and then we'll get right back to it. Sorry about that. But yeah, I don't think he's concerned with our community at all. I mean, the only time black on black crime comes up is a deflection from anytime someone talks about white people, he always brings up black on black crime. He's not like, that's not genuine. That's not somebody I trust. If you can't talk about black on black crime any other time than to tell black people to shut the fuck up, you know, then that's just all lives matter. You know, as far as I'm concerned, what I hear when he talks. That's how it sounds to me when he starts talking, every time. Cause, it's not about jersey sales. It's not about, it makes you feel good. And this is the distraction. This is the shit that people always say when this happens is, you know, when, and then bringing up Martin Luther King, he just did everything that ignorant, racist, self-hating black people do, whenever it comes to shit like this. It's like, if you could have a check mark, a checklist, that's what he did, you know. At any rate, 100 for me as well. Air China. An Air China magazine warned flyers about minority areas of London. The state-owned airline Air China said in an email to the Associated Press that September's issue of Wings of China used inappropriate language and that the article didn't represent the airline's views. The original article said London is generally a safe place to travel. However, precautions are needed when entering areas mainly populated by Indians, Pakistanis, and black people. It also advised tourists not to go out at night alone and for women not to travel alone. Mm-hmm. That's right, guys. London, where the brown people are all rapists. Sounds a lot like Trump's speeches here, and a lot like what led to Brexit happening, right? So maybe China just believes what the people in the UK are putting out over there. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh yeah, that's 100.
100 as well. Toronto Film Festival says just don't call them black films. Birth of a Nation, Hidden Figures, and Loving are three films with the same theme, racism, and the same ambitions, Oscar glory, and the same pathway in the theaters, big studio labels. Why didn't they bring up Mr. Church? I don't know. All three, along with several other movies that examine racial politics, are set to create thunderclaps at the Toronto International Film Festival, which begins on Thursday night and represents the unofficial starting gate at the 2017 Academy Awards. Yet, these pictures, as pointed out by Cameron Bailey, the festival's artistic director, could not be addressing race in more different ways, and to put them in a box as black films or whatever would just be more racism, frankly. Speaking by telephone, Mr. Bailey added, I think it's fair to have a conversation about their similarities, but I think it's almost more important to be aware of their differences. Mr. Bailey's concern is real, especially given the shorthand that is forming around certain films on the early award circuit and the hashtag #OscarSoWhite outrage that defined the last two award cycles. In conversations about the contours of the coming season, some Hollywood players have started bifurcating. Some would say segregating award candidates. The films that examine racism and the black experience on one hand and everything else on the other. Another worry involves the diminishing artistic experience, or the flattening, as Mr. Bailey put it, which can happen when films are narrowly defined and labeled. Given as an example, Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, a poetic film about a young black man growing up in a poor section of Miami. Mr. Bailey said in a follow-up email, the histories that shape the black experience are crucial to Moonlight, but they don't contain it any more than Foxcatcher and Whiplash should be defined mainly as movies about the white experience. Moonlight will also play in the Toronto Film Festival. So basically, his point was, look, can we just not say they're just black films or just about race or whatever, because the films are unique and different and they need to be respected as unique, different artistic expressions, yeah, instead of all under one label.
Right. We know, let's just keep it real, a lot of these motherfuckers write shit off once you say it's black.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. But also, I think also he's saying, like, when it comes to award season, don't just say, we need to nominate a black movie. Like, on the merits of the films, they're good movies as well. Like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with a film being a black film, but once you just label it into this category, it seems that people just want to file it away as, let's nominate a black film. And it's like, well, it's not as simple as that.
Right. So we can't have multiple black films. So each time, tell me it's going to be The Birth of a Nation and nothing else. Like, come on. Like, it's like, and we talked about this before. Being film critics, a lot of times, particularly when you get these screeners and shit like that, a lot of times they don't even watch a lot of them. So a lot of times, depending on what's going on, they won't even put it out there, because, like I say, in their mind, it's automatic. A good film is a good film to me, but a lot of times the people that's actually doing the voting, and when it comes to Oscar season, they're like, they're still into that it can only be one. As much as they try to quote-unquote diversify, we will see how much this quote-unquote diversity benefits people when it comes to nomination time.
Yeah, look at all, how many of y'all listen to movie review podcasts in addition to listening to this show and stuff? How many of those are going to review Hell or High Water, but will not review When the Bow Breaks? One of the reasons I went to see When the Bow Breaks is because it's a black movie. And it's very important to me that we try to review black movies on here when we can. You know, it's not, you know, it's not just as simple as, well, it's not the genre I like, or it might not be that good or whatever. It's important to me to see it. You know, I can't see every black film, because we do put out a lot of shit and that's dope. Mm-hmm. And some films kind of take care of themselves. A lot of people will see, you know, people will go see Southside with you and stuff like that. But it's still important to kind of, you know, get out there and support these things, because you don't necessarily get to see them all the time. And while a film can be a black film and that's a reason to support it and nominate it, it's not the all-encompassing black films are all the same. And I think that's what he's trying to say, which is that in the same year that you have Straight Outta Compton, you can also have Beast of No Nations, and while they're both quote unquote black films, they're nothing like each other.
So
let's just not throw them all under the black label. Let's call the film by the name. Let's give the directors credit for their vision. You know, Mr. Church and Birth of a Nation are both coming out this year. They're not the same, mm-hmm. you know, and black people won't celebrate one of those winning an Oscar the way that they would another. Just keep it real. Okay, Mr. Church wins the Oscar. It's just continuing a long tradition of magical Negro films mm-hmm. getting recognized. If Birth of a Nation would have won an Oscar, while you know there's other concerns there, obviously it's still a different type of celebration that people would have for that Oscar mm-hmm. than they would have for Mr. Church. Let's just keep it 100. Anyway, I'm not fucked with by this at all. Zero.
That man get a zero because he's making a good point. He's not saying don't call them black movies at all.
Right.
He's just saying let's just be fair. Let's watch the movies. Let's critique the movies as a whole entire project.
The NYPD won't ever reveal who, if the cop who put Eric Garner in a chokehold is punished after the department reinterprets disciplinary law.
This is new.
Actually, it is new.
Oh, so that, I thought they never told shit anyway.
No, they do. They have told before, but they have now reached a new interpretation of a 40-year-old state civil rights law that now basically says we do not have to tell reporters what the disciplinary actions we've taken are. They can.
They don't want to be held accountable. Fuck you, 100.
They've now concluded that it violates the law to do that.
What makes me mad is that this is the thing. You're public. Like, everything you do, your whole job is to quote unquote protect and serve the public, which means the public demands this, which means you're going, nope, fuck you, public. We're not going to tell you, because if you really tell what you did, which is probably absolutely positively nothing, and you don't want to deal with the back outlash or the back, you know, you don't want to deal with the backlash of anything associated with it, so you just go, well, we ain't telling you shit.
You know, the other part of this is that with black people, we're the canary in the coal mine for this shit. White people need to be scared too. Everybody need to be scared, because this is the kind of shit that starts with us and you don't give a fuck. But then when it ends with one of your people getting killed, and it's like, what a gross violation of civil rights. Well, what did y'all do to punish this man? And they go, yeah, well, we came up with this new rule a year ago and y'all didn't say shit. So yeah, we just don't tell people what we do, and what we do is probably nothing, you know, 30 days of death duty or some light shit like that. You definitely don't fire him, you know. They, you know, they're citing, oh, he has poor health, that's why he died. It wasn't the chokehold and the fact he told us he couldn't breathe and the fact that we were sitting on top of him and being, you know, brutally assaulting this man. It couldn't be that. But yeah, Bratton said the change came after a recent public records request prompted the department to re-examine a 1976 New York State law. It shields records used to evaluate performance toward continued employment or promotion of police, firefighters, and correction officers unless the employees release them or a judge orders it. So once again, we're getting to that point where you gotta get a judge to order the shit.
Right.
Which is what we had in North Carolina.
Right. Right.
This is not even for North Carolina, is to see the video, which is even worse in my opinion. Right. You can't even see the evidence without a judge. This is, even if we discipline a guy or don't, you need to get a judge to find out what we did. What's the accountability?
Right. So I have to spend unnecessary money now?
Yeah. Or, I mean, you had to go to court. Going to go to court? Maybe the victim's family. Maybe outlet.
I'm not guaranteed, because the judge can go no.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Just another, you know, for an organization that supposedly protects and serves and we're supposed to trust, they operate in a lot of shadows and a lot of secrecy. You know, it makes you wonder about the people that implicitly trust the police and what the fuck is wrong with them.
Right. Because I'm learning and getting educated and like kind of dropping in and out of these documentaries and stuff like that you watch. And I never realized, maybe just a lot of my ignorance, most police departments, I know foundation of a lot of police departments was rooted in white supremacy, and that bullshit ain't never changed. A lot of them was designed to go catch niggas and take them back to their, well, catch quote unquote property and take them back to their owners. And the thing is, it has evolved over time, but the foundation of it has been that. And so it's just one of those things where it has evolved and grown and changed, and society has forced it to adjust and adapt. But for most police departments, that was the foundation of policing and police departments and shit like that. And so, truthfully be told, most police departments have some foundation of the KKK involved and wrapped in it. A lot of racism and hatred involved and wrapped in it. And the sad part about it, racism is irrational and illogical. Not only is it irrational and illogical, it gets to the point to where it's a police state. And so, like you said before, a lot of white people sit back and they say absolutely positively nothing as long as it's niggers. But eventually, it will run down your street. When your child gets killed, which white children and white people have been killed unjustly before, and guess who's standing up for them? Black people, that really is about quote unquote all lives matter, not just Black lives matter. In the reality, it's wrapped in there, all lives matter. And I think that, and it's upsetting when you see shit like this, because like you say, it's gonna take somebody that's predominant, it's gonna take a white person in the spotlight for some shit to happen to them, and they pull this, and then it'll be reversal.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but 100 for me.
Yeah. And you know what? And the thing is, where's the mayor on this?
De Blasio?
Right. Where's the mayor, the senator?
I think if nothing else, we saw that De Blasio doesn't have, the mayor office just doesn't have a pull that people would like it to have. They don't respect him. Remember, they turned their backs on him. They don't fuck with him. You know, like, this is the reality of the situation. If nothing else, this exposed that. The Eric Garner thing exposed it. It wouldn't matter if De Blasio came out and said, fuck the police. It wouldn't matter. They don't care about him. You know, I mean, they stopped working because he was critical, because he said, look, man, I tell my son the same shit, which is be careful dealing with the police. And they went, fuck you, man. How dare you? You know, New York Police Department cops placed bets predicting shootings and stabbings during Labor Day weekend's jailbreak celebration in New York in a racist message board.
Just like I told you, they gonna have a pool like we do fantasy football. They have a pool when they started flying these drones and shit. Like, that's the bullshit people do.
Anonymous commentators identifying as NYPD cops have been posting sick bets on how much bloodshed they expect at a number of cultural Labor Day events in Brooklyn. In the West Indian Day death pool post on the racist blog The Rant, participants are taking turns predicting how many people will be stabbed, shot, bludgeoned, thrown off roofs, or ass stomped. Place your bets, gentlemen. The mayhem is about to start, wrote the cop who started the threat, identifying himself as Officer Joe Bolton. So what will be the final numbers of the 2016 celebration of a beautiful culture? This includes jailbreak and the parade. The blog, reportedly frequented by current and former cops, is a hotbed for racist comments against New York's highly diverse communities. It is not affiliated with the NYPD. The post refers to the West Indian Day Parade, including the pre-dawn party jailbreak, which happens over the Labor Day weekend. This year, the event will be called the New York Caribbean Carnival. So yeah, they just, you know, these are officers. You know, this, you know, this is who we need protecting the public. 0 to 100.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's 100.
All right, 100 for me as well. Students walk out of a high school after the girl had to remove a Black Lives Matter t-shirt.
Good.
Students at Buckeye High School in Arizona staged a walkout Monday to protest discrimination after the school forced a girl to remove her Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Mariah Harvard, a 10th grade student, said on Facebook that school officials told her to remove her Black Lives Matter shirt on August 23rd because it created a disruption in the learning education. And her Facebook post, shared by more than 1,000 people, Harvard said that the vice principal handed her a plain white shirt to change it to. Oh, we covered this woman, I believe, this girl. So apparently the other students are like, fuck this, we walking out of school.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Fuck you. Good.
All right, zero for me as well.
Yeah, disrupt the school day. Yeah, yeah.
These kids be in formation, bro. They do not fuck around.
Yeah, I had a baby, they do that. I'd be like, you know what? Stand up for your rights. Like, how would he be mad at my child?
Right. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Me too. Because it's not fair and it's not right.
Mm-hmm. It's not okay. All right, guys. Let's get into some other shit, guys. All right. Can't just be on this all the time.
Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, fresh shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all the way. Music. I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And
yeah, I'm on.
Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT, it's hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four-track busting. Halfway across that city with the back, question. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Where do we go at?
This is the moment.
Tonight is the night.
We'll fight till it's
over. Hands up like the city can't hold us. Like the city can't hold us.
This is the moment.
It's over, then we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the city can't hold us.
All right. That's right, it's white people news.
Ha ha!
Let me move it to the second session of this, by the way. Take time to. This will be a good transition. All right. But yeah, it's white people news. Sometimes shit gets a little heavy. Okay. Talk about a lot of serious stuff over here, the blackout tips, you know, racism. We got, you know, dealing with, protests, kids taking off their Black Lives Matter shirts.
No.
I mean, it's a lot, guys, and I understand it could be a lot. And sometimes you need a palate cleanser of whiteness to just shield us from this. Let's talk about what's important to white people while we're talking about, 9/11 and all the horrible things that are happening to us, okay? Going Dutch. Sharon Stone and her mystery man enjoy a day out as they cycle around sunny Amsterdam.
Oh shit.
They always say mystery man when they're, or mystery woman or whatever, when they don't know who the fuck you are and you ain't famous. Like anytime a famous person fuck a non-famous person or just hang out with them, it's like, you know, it's like Donald Glover and a mystery man.
And then imagine every person that he's with.
It's like, that's his brother. Well, he ain't famous. I'm sorry.
That's all that matters. He ain't famous.
But yes, they enjoy a day out, as they cycle around sunny Amsterdam. Last week, she reportedly obtained a new restraining order against her stalker, Philip Barnes, after it emerged that he could be released from prison soon. But Sharon Stone looked carefree as she enjoyed a day out in Amsterdam with the mystery man. The 58-year-old Basic Instinct star did the traditional tourist activity and explored the picturesque city on a rented bike. Dressed in a casual white shirt and blue patterned leggings, she opted to wear trainers for comfort. Of course, you can't be biking in high heels. Wearing her short blonde hair loose, she showed off her flawless complexion and enviable bone structure. And shading her face from the European sunshine, the blonde beauty wore aviator glasses. Later on, the duo enjoyed some time out at an outside cafe with Sharon flicking through her iPad. I wonder if she bought it from Malachi.
She may have.
That's where the extra iPad went.
Yep.
Her relaxed appearance comes a week after the duo was spotted headed to LAX amid reports that her stalker wrote to her claiming that he will be released from jail imminently. According to TMZ, the American actress was left terrified after he bombarded her with letters from his psychiatric ward.
You're terrified.
With the most recent saying he could be released in 4 months. Well, they probably should not let that dude out. The website reports Barnes has been flooding the Oscar-nominated actress with letters for the last 5 years, despite him being locked up. Yeah, seemed like some of the trolls in my mentions. Dedicated. She is said to have included an example of his missives in the court documents, which read, "I have 11 wives picked out and would cause about 18 kids. You would sit at the other head of the dining table." The actress, the actress, who was famous for her roles in Casino and LA Confidential, is also said to have revealed that Barnes sent an even more worrying letter December 2014. In that one, she is asked to bring him 2 Crown Royal bags full of diamonds, by my 2 CIA badges, $20 billion worth of Department of Treasury checks, and my gun silencer. The fuck, who does this guy think he is?
I know, right?
Are they not medicating him? I thought he was in a psychiatric facility. Holy shit. And they just gotta let him out, huh? But yeah, he's up for evaluation in just 4 months, meaning he could be released. Well, if he's still talking and sending letters like this, I don't think they're gonna let him out. Anyway, that's gotta be scary. But at least she was able to enjoy it while biking around Amsterdam with a mystery man. Brainy beauty Reese Witherspoon looks bookish in her prescription glasses as she heads out in LA. That's right, guys. Reese Witherspoon has prescription glasses now.
Ah, shit, now no more contacts.
Big breaking news on this one, guys. Be careful. She apparently still looks like a college student to some people. She wore a pair of prescription glasses that brought back memories of the former child star when she studied at Stanford University. The mother of 3 was seen shopping in Los Angeles in a blue blazer and jeans.
Yes, I love the description of the clothes.
She added a pair of flared denim jeans paired with a set of heeled sandals.
Oh, that was flared.
Mm-hmm. The actress completed her look with gold jewelry, a brown cross bag, and specs.
Oh shit, were they boot cut while we talking?
I don't know, you just said they were wide leg. I mean, I guess I'll put the picture in the chat if y'all want, if you need to see it, Karen, so you can know for yourself.
I mean, I'm just asking for the white people to want to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the cut of the jeans. I don't know if that's boot cut or not. But they definitely high heel sandal cut.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she was out earlier that morning. She started off her day with a workout. She looked comfortable in a gray cutoff t-shirt paired with cropped leggings. Her look was complete with blue mirror shades and colorful trainers.
Hmm. Oh, colorful trainers.
Mm-hmm.
You mean this in good or bad way?
They had pink. They were like gray and pink, and they had pink shoestrings. So, you know, she's out there getting it. So,
they're not talking about her personal trainers. Oh, my bad.
No, of course, no.
I was like, what are they talking about? How would you have colorful?
They would just be colored trainers if they were not white, and that would be racist to say it that way.
Right, that's what I'm looking like. You read this pretty casual.
Leanne Rimes goes braless in a perilously plunging top as she and her husband Eddie Cibrian jet to London.
How you know she braless? You see her nipples?
You can just see it, and I'll show you. But you can kind of see it in the picture. It leaves very little to the imagination, Karen.
I don't like bras either, baby. I understand.
She's definitely not shy when it comes to showing off her envy-inducing figure. And that's exactly what Leanne Rimes, 34, did as she landed at London's Heathrow Airport with her husband, Eddie Cibrian, 43. The country singer went braless as she slipped into an eye-popping plunging top for her transatlantic flight.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Titties on fleek.
Yeah, it is. I ain't even mad at you.
Showcasing her slim figure in a pair of tight jeans as she strolled through the terminal, the musician accessorized with suede ankle boots and an oversized tote bag.
Hey, oversized tote bag.
Leanne sheltered her eyes after her flight from Los Angeles with a pair of aviator sunglasses and wore her blonde locks hanging around her shoulders in loose curls. And the How Do I Hit maker completed her look with natural makeup to emphasize her attractive features. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Leanne.
Honey, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Breaking white people news, just getting out there and just spreading the good word. Let's see what else white people care about right now. My worst nightmare, Kylie and Kendall Jenner got stuck in an elevator in New York and had to be rescued by firefighters.
Oh, shit, no.
Mm-hmm. Something could have happened to the first family of America, to a lot of people. The sisters appeared to be heading out of their apartment building in New York when the second door on the outside of the elevator refused to open, trapping them inside. Naturally, the reality stars documented the drama on Snapchat and managed to stay pretty calm during the 20-minute ordeal before firefighters came to the rescue.
Oh, that'll be on the show.
20 whole minutes? Yeah, that's going to definitely be on the show. I wonder if they was stopping and editing in commercials.
Right, you know they're going to come back, they're going to tell Kim. Kim going to be... She gonna be just not coming back from the thing with Kanye, his fashion show, and they're gonna mm-hmm. have to tell her all about it.
Yeezy season 4.
Right. Mm-hmm. But can you believe what happened while you were gone? We got stuck in an elevator. Oh, it was so draining. It was hot in there. Oh, the paparazzi was everywhere. The door wouldn't open. I didn't know how to use the box. Oh.
I almost passed out from standing so long. It's like I was a Yeezy season model.
Ah! You know we don't stand this long.
So I'm not multicultural, multi-ethnic, whatever it was. So my worst nightmare just happened, Kylie says in the first clip as she films her sibling and pals, Haley Baldwin and Jordan Woods, who are stuck with them. We are stuck in the elevator, she added. That's your greatest nightmare. Starting to get scared, the teen TV star captioned one Snapchat as Kendall took charge, fumbling with the door trying to figure out how to open it. Well, thank goodness the police were there. I mean, the firefighters were there. Also, an unrelated news, 7 babies burned in a fire, but the Kardashians were saved. Let's see what else got.
All that matters, they were saved.
Mm-hmm. A bachelor party tries sex doll selfies at the 9/11 memorial.
What does that got what?
Mm-hmm. Apparently they had a sex doll with them.
Okay.
Bunch of Wall Street dude bros that probably think Colin Kaepernick disrespected the national anthem.
Oh yeah.
They took selfies with a sex doll and the 9/11 memorial in Lower Manhattan Friday, but police quickly showed them the exit. The life-size sex doll disgusted mourners, marking the 15th anniversary of the terror attacks at the memorial at the World Trade Center. The revelers, tourists from England, took tasteless selfies by the reflecting pool where the names of nearly 3,000 killed in 9/11 are etched in marble.
Oh! So they went on tour with the sex dolls.
I don't know if they
hey girls,
it's a bachelor party, I guess they took it on a tour in New York and
they walking around drunk and shit.
Yeah, they weren't even from here. That was even worse. Like, you can't import that kind of ignorance.
Ah, but we can over there. Shout out to that swimmer.
What's the exchange rate on that ignorance? One of them carried the naked sex doll under his arm. The visitors reached out to police at the memorial, who asked the boneheaded bachelors to leave the area. We told them they couldn't be here with the doll, said the NYPD source. We told them to leave and they did. It didn't go any farther than that. Thank God they weren't visiting from Africa. You know what I'm saying? It would've been totally different. Totally different. At least it was a white sex doll, because that could have ended real bad.
Yeah, racists don't care nothing about your sex style. They get some too.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to some Guess the Race, guys. All right. Think we've had enough of white people's nonsense for today. But it's good to get that out, you know, to get some positivity in our lives.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-dum-dum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read or play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And you guys are racist. That's right. Mm-hmm. And today's Guess the Race is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate
is the monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up to get this month, and then the cutoff happens. And this month is speed, okay, guys? And speed means you're gonna get stuff from Batman, CW's The Flash and Arrow, Battlestar Galactica, Iron Man, and Gone in 60 Seconds. And you can even upgrade to Loot Wear, where you get Sonic socks, Transformers wearable for your World 7 needs, and a winning Mario Kart tee and more. This Loot Wear collection is gonna zoom away quickly. That's lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT to get $3 off any new subscription. And we actually have some of the stuff here.
Here's our
Loot Crate from last month, which I'm opening now. All right, so Loot Crate last month was anti-hero was a code, was a thing. We got this Archer for President shirt.
Oh, shit now.
Yep. Danger Zone! That's you, Karen. Woohoo! We also, it always comes with a pen. This is a Loot pen for World of Warcraft. All right, I saw that movie in theaters. It actually wasn't bad. And it had two black women in it. Got some Kill Bill socks. Now, these is for me. I will be wearing these. My Kill Bill socks. Oh, we haven't put this up. We got a Harley Quinn collectible action figure, and it come. Oh, it's got the Jackal in it too from Batman the TV show. So yeah, it's Harley Quinn in her Jester outfit, and she's got the Jackal with her that she used to have on the actual show. And it has a stand behind it that stands up that says, "Hi, Puddin', miss me." You can see it there. So, yep, I'm gonna definitely be putting that up. We have a shelf now where we have all our collectibles out. And let's see what else we got. Hellboy. Oh, we got the fist. You know, Hellboy has that
that red fist.
Yeah, yeah, he has that one metal fist. We got the metal fist, and it's a piggy bank.
Oh, now we can put that with the actual pig that we got for a piggy bank.
Yeah, but you can put coins into the metal fist and collect them shits and then punch people with this motherfucker. But yeah, we got that. And also comes, oh, and it always comes with like a poster and stuff too, and a guide to what all you bought. And you can also use the box as a stand. So there you go, guys. Loot Crate, man. That's what you can be doing every month, opening it up. It's like a present for yourself. Less than $20 a month, and you get to feel special, you know, feel like Christmas, even though you a grown ass adult playing with toys. All right, now let's get into some Guess the Race. A jewelry heist suspect has been busted. The guy who allegedly nabbed $3 million in jewelry from Drake's tour bus, that's right, guys, the show comes full circle, just got arrested, TMZ has learned. The suspect, Travion King, yes, the race, was arrested on campus at Arizona State University Wednesday afternoon, and cops described him as a transient. Police say they found him with the briefcase, which contained all of the jewelry. Open and shut case there. Open and shut briefcase. I guess it was a briefcase. He's been booked for felony burglary. As we first reported, cops say the loot, which belonged to Drake's DJ, Future the Prince, was lifted from Future the Prince got $3 million in jewelry? Shit. Was lifted from one of Drake's tour buses parked outside the Talking Stick Arena in downtown Phoenix. We're told King has worked for the arena in the past for concerts, but he was not working during Tuesday night's Drake Future show. We got video of Drizzy going off on someone on the security team after he learned about the heist. You know, one of the things that's interesting about this is he worked at the arena typically. So does that mean that they don't do any criminal background? Has he robbed other people? when he's working, you know, is this just a Drake thing? I'm sure he didn't even know he had that many millions of dollars worth of shit.
Oh, you know he didn't.
You know, he also, the way that he got busted, he was at Arizona State University Wednesday. He allegedly broke into a student's dorm in the middle of the night. The woman said she woke up to him trying to climb into her bed.
Holy shit.
Telling her he'd never been with a white girl and offered to eat her out. She freaked out and ran to another room.
Right.
Where she and a friend called campus cops and had him arrested. Cops say King told him he'd been smoking weed and PCP and broke into the dorm because he wanted to smoke and fuck. And was thinking with the wrong head. Hey, dick is not your friend. I mean, we do know that's true. He was booked for criminal trespassing. Police also found a briefcase full of jewelry, which linked him to the tour bus heist outside of Drake. I wonder if she would have known he was a multimillionaire if she wouldn't have been as scared, you know. Sound like he just went up in there and was,
Make daddy a sandwich. So you make daddy a sandwich. Daddy want a sandwich. I'm gonna make daddy a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Sound like he wanted a sandwich. Guess the race, Karen, of Trayvon King.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Let's see what the Chizzy Chizzy chat room feels that his race would be. Black. Meek was looking for revenge. Hide your kids, hide your wife, black. My nigga, black mix, black. Meek Mill fan, black, black. Everybody's going with black on this one, and the correct answer is black. And I will show you guys what he looked like. Keep in mind, this is the face of a man who was worth $2 to $3 million of jewelry. Now, if that crawled up in the bed, what you talking about? I just want to eat your pussy. Would y'all call the police?
Yes.
he does have a very distinct call the authorities look to him anyway.
Yeah, anybody break up in there?
He must have been high thinking that was gonna work.
Right.
He must have read too many. He must have saw Lena Dunham's comments and went, but I'm doing it right. All right, let's go to the next one. How about this one? A disabled Tennessee man, 59, disappears after hiring a mystery woman off of Craigslist as his caregiver. A man who hired a woman as his caregiver on Craigslist is now missing, according to authorities in Tennessee. Ellis Vaught, 59, was reported missing from his Williston home by family members on Saturday night. Wilson says Vaught's family told officers that they hadn't had any contact with him since Friday night. They say Vaught suffered a stroke and is dependent on medications. Now, this is at least long history with the show of me saying Craigslist is the devil's butthole. Do not go on there for anything. People be like, I can't believe there's a site where you can be like, I want a caregiver and I want a prostitute and will somebody come buy my grill?
And I got an American Eagle flag I want to sell.
Yeah, nothing good is gonna come of this shit. They say he advertised for a caregiver on Craigslist and an unidentified woman answered the ad. She is known only as Janie. Authorities say Vaught is believed to have hired the woman 2 weeks ago and that she is believed to be with him. His vehicle, a dark green van, is also missing. Deputies say the disappearances are suspicious. Fayette County Sheriff's Office said on Facebook Wednesday, Ellis is 6'2", weighs 195 pounds, was last wearing a gray t-shirt, black shorts, brown house shoes, and a do-rag. Also missing was Mr. Vaught's 1999 green Plymouth Voyager minivan bearing a Tennessee tag. According to authorities, Ellis has had a previous stroke, is partially disabled, and is on daily medications, which were also missing. His son, Kenny Vaught, told localmemphis.com, this is very out of character for my father, for him to be gone and had no contact with us, so we just want to bring him back home safe. Guess the race of the woman who kidnapped Ellis Vaught.
What's her name again?
Her name is just Janie. They don't have any more information in her picture and her name.
Janie's white.
Okay. And I checked to see if there was any update, and it looks like there's not been any update on him returning, so he still disappeared.
Oh shit.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe the race is. Stephen King, Misery, white. Casper's albino cousin, white. Probably killed him and stole his organs, white.
Oh.
Probably is missing connections, white. Janie got a gun, white. white. A black woman wouldn't want to put up with him for that long. Oh. Janie, Jillian, Becky, white. If Craigslist is the devil's butthole, missed connections is the colon. Well, that's not a race. Mayo, baby.
Ah!
The correct answer is white. That's right. He is a white man, and she's a white woman, and that's Janie right there, who just came to take out. How do you just look at that screenshot and go, all right, come over here and get my money and take care of me?
Right. No background. You don't get your family involved or anything.
Yeah. Anytime you go on Craigslist and post an ad,
take my money.
Yep.
Yeah, because I know your dad used to, I'd be worried about your dad. I'm like, one day he ain't gonna come back.
Right. I mean, I'm not judging you, but you know that I don't want to blame the victim, but come on.
All right.
The Craigslist is not a trustworthy place to go. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody is... Karen's 2-for-2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see if she can finish it off.
We will see.
Now that the pressure is actually on.
For real, though.
Mm-hmm. Two women, including an off-duty police officer, get into a brawl at a funeral home after a niece tries to kick her aunt out of the visitation service. An off-duty police officer was arrested last week after getting into a fight with her aunt at a funeral home. Pittsburgh cop Tracy Schweitzer, 49, was attending a visitation service for her 71-year-old aunt at the funeral home on Friday, where another aunt, 62-year-old Suzanne Troy, showed up. Schweitzer then allegedly confronted Tori and asked her to leave, saying it was her aunt's dying wish that she not attend the service. Ooh! The tea. Damn, how's your dying wish like, just don't let that bitch come to my funeral? I'm dead.
Put a plug.
Mm-hmm. That's somebody that is mad as fuck.
What you did, baby, but you made them highly upset.
Well, your last wish is no, don't let this nigga come to my yo.
Ah!
That's
anybody
bad.
But you.
Right. Tori responded by walking up to the casket and reportedly pulled up her dress, telling Switzer to kiss my ass.
That's why she wants you to come.
Mm-mm-mm.
For 40 years. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody even know why they originally mad.
You know, she found out that woman was dead. You know, she was sitting in the house like,
who you finna try? I bet it ain't me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me. Who you finna...
Mm-hmm.
These some niggas.
Schweitzer also claims that the aunt threatened to get a gun and shoot me in the head.
Wow.
Two funeral home workers who overheard the fight confirmed the claims to police. The verbal argument then escalated to a full-out brawl when the women moved from the visitation center into the hallway. A fight at a funeral. It's like when this almost bad as when Ralph Angel's baby mama showed up to the funeral, and she wanted to see the son, and then Hollywood was like, now ain't the time. This is what would have happened.
Yes! Right. If he'd walked over there, yeah.
This is why you need a Hollywood.
Right, right.
Somebody got to be like, now's the time.
Right. Now's the time, dog. Not because immediately he got up, he was like, just let it be.
That shit was about to turn into world star. No. Don't do that to us.
Right, no. Nah. Let us bear your daddy. Afterwards, you can do what you want to. But that right now.
The verbal argument then escalated to a full-out brawl when the women moved from the visitation center to the hallway. The aunt kicked, punched, and spit at Schweitzer, and while Troy says she was stuck in the face and arm and chest by her 13 years younger niece, when police showed up at the scene, Schweitzer explained that her aunt had been estranged from the family. After consulting with an assistant district attorney, cops decided to arrest both women. Damn. They both face simple assault charges, and then the other aunt faces assault and making a terroristic threat. Guess the race of these women is white. Sorry. Aww. I ruined it. Sorry. Aww. We all knew that Karen was gonna get it wrong, so take that as a good one, Karen. You got it right. All right, this is my bad, y'all.
Oh, I'd have
what
got that
white
wrong.
Nonsense is this?
Yeah, you would have missed that one.
Right. I mean, white folks don't brawl like this now.
I saved you. Mm-mm-mm. My bad, y'all. Didn't mean to do that. Oh. At any rate, it was worth the story. Let me do
it
one more then.
It was worth the story.
I'll do one more since Karen got a freebie on that one. We all know she would have missed it.
I would have definitely missed that one.
Let me see if I can do one more. Facebook feud led to a dispute over a man, which had also led to a teen mom being stabbed to death.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm. I say if you gonna stab a motherfucker, you do it to death.
Ah, you gonna do it right.
Mm-hmm. I think I could play the video on this one.
Okay.
Make sure the volume is set. And this happened in Scranton, PA. What was that, Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
PA. Scranton, PA. If it'll play. I don't know. Shit don't want to play. An ongoing Facebook dispute over a man turned tragic during the holiday weekend, leaving a young woman dead and another facing serious charges, according to WNEP. The 16-year-old high school sophomore who will most likely be charged. I thought I was going to say was voted most likely to be charged.
And they was.
That would be a hell of a statement on your yearbook.
Yes.
The senior voted most likely to be charged with a murder. It looked like it want to play, but then it doesn't want to play. I don't know.
A judge just sentenced a man from New York for a November 2014 bank robbery in Scranton.
Wait, what?
38-year-old Jamil King.
This isn't even the same.
Years in prison.
This isn't even the same article.
Stole more than $100,000 when he held up the.
God damn it! Didn't even play the right. Why is this attached to this article? All right, a 16-year-old high school sophomore would most likely be charged with homicide in the death of 18-year-old Kayla Van Wert, the mother of a 1-year-old. Kathleen Boyer, 16, has been charged as an adult with aggravated assault and other charges for an alleged fight that turned deadly. Police say the young mom was stabbed twice there Sunday night. She died later in the hospital. Witness Arlene Simbrot said she saw an SUV pull up and a man carrying Kayla Van Wert's body. Then I seen a guy get out and pick something up. He had on a red shirt on and all these chains on. And then he got in the car. So I came down here right here and they flew through the alley. Simbrot says a group of 5 people then seen to search the scene with flashlights. Those close to Van Wert told WNEP the cause of the fight was no mystery. The two had apparently been battling in the past over the father of Van Wert's daughter, Jorge De Jesus, 19 years old. That Jesus is in jail on parole violation after allegedly being violent with Van Wert. God damn, you fighting over this motherfucker? He abusive too. Oh God, really? This is what we doing? This is what we doing, y'all? Fighting over a motherfucker that's in jail who beats the other woman? You ain't gonna steal my ain't shit, man. You must done lost your mind. They were fighting over this motherfucker. Officials with the Scranton School District say Kayla Van Wert used to attend Scranton High School. The accused Kathleen Boyer is currently a sophomore. I feel bad now that you tell me she had a 1-year-old, Sam Brock said. I feel really bad about it. What you didn't feel bad before was before this, I was like, okay. But now that you telling me that it's different. Oh nah, now I'm really upset. All right, so guess the race of the stabby, the 16-year-old who stabbed this other woman over this man.
What was her name?
Her name was Kathleen Boyer.
Kathleen Boyer, she's white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Dating outside of her race to piss off daddy white. White woman who learned switchblade skills from her man. White, says Joe Spacey. The in-laws don't like, I don't like white, says Cap Dub. The correct answer is white. Yep, everybody got it right. So Karen, you officially went 3 for 3 today.
And yay!
This is what she looked like. She definitely got that look. Like she fuck with, you know, not white dudes, even though she is white. If you need a different picture, this is another picture of her, where you can see she's white for real. Mm-hmm. But like she had that look like of every white girl on Twitter that black dudes gas up.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram,
white girls evolving, y'all.
They're just regular ass people. They act like they doing something special,
right? She clapped on beat. It's time to
you get a cookie. Come on,
time to let her call us niggas. It's okay.
No, it's not.
And lastly, we had to talk about what we always talk about: sword ratchetness. Death. Mm-hmm.
Ah, death.
A Nebraska man is convicted in a sword slaying appeal. He lost his appeal. An Omaha man convicted of killing his girlfriend with a sword has lost an appeal before the Nebraska Supreme Court. The court on Friday upheld the conviction of Christopher Edwards, rejecting his arguments that prosecutors used manufactured evidence planted by a former crime scene investigator who served prison time for evidence tampering in a different case. Woo, that's bad, man, because we always say like some of these people gonna end up having a lot of cases getting retried where people really did the crime.
Yes sir.
Edwards is serving 100 years to life in prison. 100 years to life, Jesus. Motherfucker gotta go old as Noah to get out.
25 to 100. I don't understand.
100 years to life, not 25 to 100. 100 years. Or if you live longer than 100, life.
We'll give you to 100, but if you happen to make it past that count too.
Yeah, good. We need to take these sword slaying seriously. That's wasn't even trying to use alliteration. For 2006 murder case of 19-year-old Jessica O'Grady, his case was investigated by former Douglas County crime scene investigator David Kofod, whose conviction has forced courts to review other cases in which he was involved. In addition, Edwards argued that his trial attorney had a conflict of interest because he also was representing Kofod while Kofod was under investigation. Well, at any rate, this motherfucker ain't getting out, and that's good news. Now get out and enjoy your NFL Sunday. Okay, I know what you're saying, guys. It's gonna be kind of a hard way to root. It's gonna be a lot of racism, a lot of new passive aggressive terms. I hope you guys are getting ready, because I my prediction is tomorrow at work you're gonna hear a lot of people talking about these kneelers. Yeah, everybody's gonna be the new code word for thug, you know.
Yes sir.
Did you see Brandon Marshall last night? So sick of these goddamn kneelers. And if you like, oh man, I kind of like Brandon Marshall and Kaepernick, oh, you a goddamn kneeler lover. Is that what it is? You love those kneelers, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what it's about to become. Woke white folks out there, be careful.
If you kneel to the pledge, they're gonna be. You can also talk to other people that kneel, like Kaepernick and Brandon Marshall can talk to each other, and they call each other kneelers with an A, not ER. Like, something my kneeler. The only they could say that. You know, some of these people refuse to kneel. Cam Newton, he was standing extra tall during the, before they hit him in his head, but during the national anthem, it's like he took a chair out from the bench and stood on top of the chair and put his hand on his heart and sang all the words intensely. And I'm waiting on him to have his kneeler wake up call. Okay. That's what's going to happen. He just need a kneeler wake up call. You know, and also if I kneel, I would kneel if I was a player. Cause if you kneel after the game, you can then blame anything bad to happen to you on the fact that people had a problem with you kneeling. Like, oh, I would love to, but the fans was, you know, them booing made me not be able to cover my man. Yeah. But that's the problem. These kneelers, they had no respect for the founding fathers in their household. That's the real problem. The kneeler crimes.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mwah.